Welcome to the Building BN podcast, where we take an inside look at Bloomington Normal economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners. Hosted by your BN EDC. To start things off, we always like to get our guest background and how they ended up in Bloomington Normal. Like, are you a townie, or did you move here, or transplant?
I always feel like the term townie has some negative connotation to it, but at this point in my life, I absolutely am.
Okay.
I wasn't born and raised here, but my dad teaches over at Wesleyan, so we've been in town since 1988.
Oh, nice.
And okay. So I went to the old junior high over Bloomington Junior High. I met my wife there.
Okay.
And so we were the last graduating class. I went to BHS, and we started dating in high school, and we're still together today, 30 years later.
Okay.
We did move away. We both worked at State Farm in Atlanta, Georgia, so we spent 5 years there, a brief stint in Key West, Florida, but we've been back here since 2005.
Okay.
And slowly been, you know, kind of throwing down roots.
That would make you a boomerang. Yeah,
absolutely a boomerang.
A boomerang is a target. Like, I'm technically a boomerang coming from Decatur, going to Chicagoland and coming back down. Those are usually the best because they know the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're easier to recruit compared to somebody who might have grown up on the West Coast, and you're like, hey, come to Central Illinois. And it's like, what do you have besides corn?
Right.
We got a hockey team now. But
yeah, right.
So besides the Key West thing, which we could dive into, but like, what is a unique personal fact about yourself?
So I think we all have really strange things about us, but the one thing that is on display in my home is I've got a pretty decent Pez collection.
Ah, okay.
And I absolutely love it, and it's become, I wouldn't say an obsession, but definitely a collection. The kids get in on it a little bit.
Okay.
The way they're precariously perched on bookshelves, they're not allowed to touch them because it'll be dominoes and a mess all over the place. But it's gotten to the point where I had to insure it. We'll put it that way.
Wow. How old were you when you started that?
Probably high school. You just see a dumb thing at the store and you pick it up. And next thing you know, you get people gifting you dispensers and things like that. And then it just, you get a cool one and then you keep buying them. And next thing you know, you got a couple thousand dispensers.
We literally just bought one at, Third Sunday Market. We found one that was a Tweety Bird.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Seinfeld episode?
Absolutely.
That's why we bought it. So it was like 50 cents, and my wife cracks up every time she sees it. It's just sitting there in the kitchen. But yeah, that's very interesting. And yeah, people collect all kinds of random things. I don't know if there's anything I collect. Used to collect baseball cards, did comic books, all that stuff back in the day. So those old ones are still sitting around the house.
I helped, my dad's always been a collector, and I helped kind of pay for college through buying and selling antiques and that sort of thing. So he and I would always go garage selling and you know, going to auctions, finding steals and that sort of thing. So there was a point where I felt like I collected everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get married and it's time to streamline.
The downsize.
And so it really went to Pez and maybe a few other things that they were.
So that higher return. What do they call it? Is it retail arbitrage?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's something that we do now. Like the bulk of our house, we, like I said, Third Sunday Market, we love going there. We love checking out Neighborhood Thrift. Shout out to them. I'd say a lot of the things in my office are probably from the 20s and the 30s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just they'll randomly, you know, someone will move away or they go to estate sales and you get some desk that was like built in the 20s. And so that's the type of furniture I get from them, but it's a really great place. Okay, let's see. The next thing on here is like your role at the company. I guess I would say which company,
what you're
working on. But yeah, we can just jump into whatever one you want to start with, whether it's, Hive 309, which is right now, and hasn't really been put out in our strategic plan. Hopefully today we're going to send it out to all of our investors, but entrepreneurship is really a focus for us this year. So this is great that you're doing this. But if you want to talk about the Hive 309 concept and where you're at, the location and everything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was born out of my consulting firm. So I started Wayfinder 2 years ago.
Okay.
And basically, I focus on customized training. So I do leadership development, sales training, customer service training, a lot of one-on-one coaching over a period of months to really help people change their behaviors and be more effective in their roles. I do some classroom training, that sort of thing, but it's really focused on behavioral change to make impactful, lasting change.
Sure.
That's been very successful over the last several years. So Hive 309 was kind of an accident, a happy accident, I'll say. I was looking at potentially bringing on a staff member, and so I just was laying in bed one night on my phone looking at potential office space. Mm-hmm. And I saw this location over by Keg Grove, mm-hmm. off the Constitution Trail, and old brick building. I studied architecture for a while and just love repurposing and bringing new life into old spaces.
Nice.
And I took a look and love it. The thing about it was, obviously I don't need 2,000 square feet for,
right.
for myself and one other person. Mm-hmm. I co-chair the Solopreneur Group,
okay.
with the Chamber of Commerce. And we've built that group up to 45, 50 people over the last 18 months.
Nice.
And it's a very energetic, collaborative group.
Entrepreneurs usually are, yeah.
Absolutely. And when we get together, we get together monthly, and it's wild how supportive and driven everyone is. But then we all kind of course, go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Throughout the month. And so I thought, you know what, this is a space that I'll be able to leverage throughout the day, throughout the week, as a little touch point in between client meetings and that sort of thing. And I know there's other people like me.
They need it, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So I did a bunch of research, you know, straw polls with the solopreneurs, talking with other folks in the community, including your office, and found that there was a glaring need, especially post-COVID. I think we forget about how important the connection is.
Yeah, post-COVID is one where, you know, not a lot of people talk about it, but the great resignation was real. So there's a lot of people that said, you know what, I'm good retirement-wise, and I can go home. And I think they were home for a little bit, and they're like, I got some creative juices. There's probably something that, you know, I could, I'd want to work on. And so, yeah, I think it's good timing for this, and something that we always talked about because, you know, we're competitive, so we're comparing ourselves to Champaign and Peoria and the tools that they have compared to us, and we don't really have anything like this. So I think you're right, timing-wise. It's pretty cool. And the location across from a brewery, so I don't know how you can beat that. And then having access from the trail, like you said, so you could walk, bike, and drive there.
Yeah, I'm excited about the location. We've done a substantial remodel that we're finishing up the end of this month, actually. It's been a long journey, I'll say that. We've done a lot of the work ourselves just to make it a manageable project.
Sure.
Anytime you introduce, you know, big numbers like that, a lot of deals can die on the table just because they're not feasible for the space. And so we've been very careful with our partners to make sure that we can bring this to the community and do it at an affordable price. There are definitely other spaces in town where you can find a private office, you know, that sort of thing. But the thing that those spaces kind of lack is that community and the collaboration and the true co-working where you can feed off the energy and connect with each other. So Hive 309 has about half of the space is just open collaborative space. People can plop down, have a coffee, work on their laptop, connect with people, and just enjoy the energetic vibe of the space. Mm-hmm. And then we do have a large conference room, couple of small meeting rooms, phone booth, technology tools so people can record a podcast, shoot video content, present for clients, that sort of thing. So we're very excited about the space. It should be a really, really unique look when it's all said and done.
So I always liken it when people ask me about these because there's multiple phases in entrepreneurship infrastructure. I liken it to a gym membership. So if you think about a gym membership that you're going to pay for to be able to go in there and not build your body, but build your business. So it's a great place to start. And I'm sure you're going to have some type of with your own consulting business coaching that's in there too, if you wanted to get in there. And so say I started up a business a while ago that was web design. I might have a decent computer at home, but I don't have the equipment to do the video and the podcasting, like the setup that we have here. It'd be a great place to go. And so like when you're talking memberships, is it like one-offs? Is it monthly? Like, how's your structure going to look?
So there's definitely the a la carte pricing to allow people that maybe don't really see the need today to do a membership, but they could rent a room for an hour, do a daily rate to just get in there for a day, especially if they're, you know, kind of a traveling salesperson who has a territory and just needs to sit for the day. But membership levels, there's two different levels. Black membership gets you all access to the shared space and the shared amenities.
Okay.
Copier, scanner, Wi-Fi, kitchenette area. It's key card access, so 24-hour access for people so they can work when they need to work.
Yep.
And then the that's $200 a month. And then the gold level is $300 a month, and that gives you the opportunity to go ahead and reserve the conference room space, even using the location as a physical mailing address if need be.
Sure. So that, yeah, if you would do comps and look at like what it would cost to rent your own space, probably going to be 500 square foot to 1,000 square foot, and there's no way you're going to get your own space for $200 a month.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's a, yeah, we've seen that the floor for private offices and beyond is 500 a month.
Okay.
And so we felt really comfortable with this price point. It's a way to get people engaged and get people connected. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that's gonna break the bank.
Well, it's also one where you gotta think about the equipment that's in there. I mean, you go to the gym not because it's a room, you go to the gym because of all the equipment. And so right. that having that copier, having the access to the Wi-Fi, yeah, that all matters. So I can see even going there, a lot of people I know over the pandemic kept Home Depot in business. Like we were always wondering what was gonna happen with sales, you know, sales tax in general, but Home Depot and Lowe's, and everybody went crazy because people built out these home offices. Well, even having your home office at some point, like you said, having the conference room, or having a space that you might want to be around people like you. Like I love my family, but I don't want my dog on my lap. So sometimes I might need a break for the day to go in and just crank out work, hold some meetings, and bounce some ideas off of people. So I think it's good. And then afterwards, yeah, head over to Keg Grove and have a Holy Jeans.
Absolutely.
That's very cool. So the other thing that I know that we've been collaborating on along with CareerLink is, and this came out of, speaking of the Chamber, the Chamber's ramp event, and it was getting feedback from the community, kind of just what we're going to do going forward. And there was a massive push for interns, and everybody was like, all right, well, you know, we'd love to have some interns. And of course ISU and Westland's like, well, we've got interns for you, so how do you do it? And then that was a question. People were like, I'd love to have it, but I don't know how to host an intern.
Yeah, there's obviously organizations in town, right? Like the Cromark, State Farm, places like that, that have been leveraging. Yeah, they've been leveraging interns for decades, mm-hmm. and it's such a finely tuned process for them, and they just know how to do it. But if you're a small or medium business owner that doesn't have that structure in place, how do you do this? And even if you decide I want an intern and I think I can go find one, that doesn't mean you have the structure in place to support them,
yeah.
to make them successful, to get the most out of them, and really reap all the benefits of that type of program.
Right. And that's where I think that training comes in. And then, by the way, this is free. This is that collaboration with CareerLink, which is a program out of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, DCO. So there are federal grants that gets funneled to the state. The state gives them out. Workforce is massive right now. And then for us at the EDC, we're trying to figure out workforce retention. I mean, we've got record enrollment over here at ISU, and we're like, okay, you've got this pipeline of talent. How do you keep them here? What better way than to get them into an internship so they get to know the community, get to know people, and talk to some people that are very successful here and say, all right, we could have a really good life here. Then we maybe stick around. But like you said, that gap was, how in the heck do you host an intern? I mean, you just don't want them there, you know, taking notes and getting coffee.
Right. And I think that there's some old perceptions of what an intern is, right? Is tossing the junk work on them just to keep them busy, unpaid internships,
right.
Just really working them and abusing them in a sense. And I think there's a couple different things that people miss when it comes to that. Number one, I think probably most organizations have that struggle of finding the right people.
Sure.
And retaining the right people. And so I think some organizations miss the opportunity to truly test drive a potential new employee, in which case they don't always screen their interns as such, right? So they're not looking forward beyond the internship.
Right.
And so I think we miss an opportunity there. And then I think we overlook the educational opportunity for the intern as well. Even if they don't stay with your organization, there's still benefit to training them up and helping them grow. You can make a connection point within the community. To your point on the student retention, if you can form that connection, they're much more likely to stay in this community and contribute, even if it's not at your company.
Yeah, it could be one. I mean, one, you want them to have a good experience. It's still customer service. They're going to go tell their friends. And while they might not work out at your company, they might say, well, I actually have some friends. Like, this would be great. And they make the recommendation.
Right.
But yeah, if they don't get their foot in the door, they don't know what they don't know. I mean, rewind 20-some years, showing my age, but yeah, I didn't know what was out there. And you ask most students now, or actually some of the citizens, like what's being manufactured around here, they don't know, or what State Farm is. You say State Farm, you're just thinking everyone's insurance agents. Like, that's not true. There's a whole legal department, and there's whole marketing, and I mean, even in government, there's so many jobs. So I think it's a great opportunity, to utilize some state funding in order to show people how to do internships, and hopefully it boosts the internships and then gets more people to stick around, and then we can focus on housing so they've got a place to live later.
Yeah. I love the point you made about the now I lost it, but the students and the retention piece,
yeah,
and the having a good experience,
yeah,
regardless of that. And so I actually years ago, I worked in IT consulting at Burwood Group, actually a former neighbor of the EDC.
Oh, okay.
Here in the Heartland Bank building, and I had a good boss there, Joanna Robinson, and she was a firm believer that no matter at what point in the process that people enjoyed their recruiting, interviewing, and hiring process, mm-hmm, with us. Because even if we just hire somebody and, or we go through the interviewing process and they're a no, and we send them on their way, we want them to go through that experience thinking this is a very high quality company. Mm-hmm. The people were amazing. They were always clear and upfront with me in communication. Wow.
Right.
And that's, I think we underestimate that bit of our business as brand building, marketing, yeah, even future recruitment when it comes to the types of people that we can bring in. And so many organizations really, I think, miss the boat on that, where either they just don't notify people, they leave, yeah, people hanging for too long, and that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Even if you get hired, it's, mm-hmm, still a weird process.
It could be one where, like, even it's like even the IT firm. So they go work for another company, they are the internal IT, but they might need help with the project. That professionalism is going to stick around. Like, oh, they were great to work with, I'm going to go back to them.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just those little things I don't think that most people probably pay attention to during the HR process. But same with the internships. If they don't know, everybody says they want them. All right, let's try to play matchmaker. Like in economic development, we're really gap fillers. We just see, we're trying to fill supply and demand and get over hurdles and hopefully eliminate them or just find a tool to help out. So this is great to partner on that, again, with DCO, with CareerLink, the chamber who kind of helped us launch this thing and identify the gap. And we'll see where it goes. But for more information on that, definitely all the EDC social media channels, we've been pumping it out there. There's different links on how to register, but it is free. And there's going to be 4 sessions. So just because you missed the, yeah, first doesn't mean you can't make the next one. So stay tuned on that. Is there any other companies that you want to discuss outside of those 3 initiatives you got?
So I think the one thing to note on the Wayfinder side is we're doing a couple other things as well. In addition to the core consulting,
okay,
one thing I'm doing is doing more around retreat planning, mm, and facilitation. There's certainly folks that are still trying to now come back together and do the physical retreats,
right,
whether it be executive boards, sales teams, nonprofit boards, that doesn't matter, right? Bringing people together for a purpose. And so oftentimes when we do retreats, it's we just go ahead, we get people together, we've got our basic agenda. But I think each retreat should really have some key objectives.
Okay.
And I think a truly successful retreat should be carefully curated to get exactly what you want out of it based, right, on your team, based on the goals, and based on the energy and things like
have
that.
Have a purpose. Don't have a meeting for a meeting.
Exactly. Which we're famous for, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and so that's one thing that we're working on. And then the very flip side of that is virtual retreats.
Okay.
It's, I think most of us have struggled with even just how to run virtual meetings effectively, how to manage,
yeah,
remote teams, right? And so I'm actually facilitating a virtual retreat this spring for a company, and it's bringing their people together, right, virtually throughout the country to drive a couple things home. They need help with some team building,
yeah,
some strategic thinking. They need a little bit of a brain break because they're pretty taxed when it comes to their workload. And so I'm very excited for that. I think we've got a good structure lined up, and that's something that we're getting more into,
okay,
is the virtual retreat space for those companies that just maybe don't have the budget dollars to pull their geo-dispersed, right, people together at that point.
Yeah, and it seems like there's more and more because, I mean, the internet's helped out as it gets faster. And everyone was forced to adapt to Zoom or, you know, telework during the pandemic, and now they've figured out that you can really, you know, hire people that are good at what they do from anywhere in the world, you know, any hours of the day. And the handoffs I've always found interesting between manufacturers here in the States is, like, you know, they go to bed, they hand the plans off to somebody in India, they wake up, the plans are reviewed, and they just go back and forth. But yeah, to have that, you know, I guess that connection in between, you know, still to get to know your coworkers and to make it a place you want to work, it is fascinating stuff. And team building as well, I mean, it's so important to businesses. And I know back in the day, they used to have like the trust course and the ropes course and all those kind of things, but there's other ways to do it. And so yeah, I'd be curious to see how that works out virtually, because we attended some virtual conferences and some were boring because, you know, other people were working in the background, and other ones were super engaged. And it all really just depend on who the speakers were, what the activities, the breakout rooms. There's
right.
so many techniques that you can do. But no, it's important because that goes to your – it's part of quality of life. I mean, there's not enough population in Generation X to fill all the jobs that we have now, let alone what all these new programs that the feds are putting together to create all these new infrastructure jobs. So the battle for employees and talent is only going to increase.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, if you've got that, that makes a really good place that you want to work either in person or online. Yeah, you have to figure out the team building aspect for sure. Especially, you know, demography will show the different generations all have different needs. Like Gen X, you can probably just turn loose and be like, go do what you're going to do. They're latching key kids. They're going to go do it. Go down a little bit. Millennials, they want to be more involved. And then you get to Gen Z. They better have a full outline planned on how things are going to go and how they're going to progress. And if that's not, they don't feel included, they're going to go somewhere where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned kind of that generational piece. I'm just now doing some planning with a local company. I can't say who necessarily.
Sure, sure.
But addressing the specific challenges of number one, how to support and manage an under 25 workforce,
mm-hmm.
but then also how to support and develop the under 25 leaders.
Right.
And so that's something that we're working on together, and it's pretty exciting. It's pretty interesting to really dive into the multi-generational workspace.
Yep.
And we don't usually talk about it and look at head on. And so we're excited about that.
Oh, something we've been really paying attention to just because of lower marriage rates and lower birth rates, and then watching as the boomers continue with the great resignation to retire faster and faster. So we're monitoring, like, all right, do we have the workers for the people we're attracting? And why we lean so heavily on these universities, because they are, that's outside talent that's here, so that future pipeline's here. But not only ours, but also our labor shed. So that 45 miles around here, like, what's happening in Champaign? What's happening in Peoria and Clinton? Because without that, like, you're going to see more businesses go to the major metros, you know,
right.
if we don't have that workforce. So it's really important, but they do, I mean, even me as a manager, come in, we have multi-generational staff here. So we've got baby boomers, we've got a couple Gen Z, we have millennials, and, you know, our interns coming in, you know, it's like, and then you're looking at Gen Alpha, you know, it's like after that. But I have two daughters that are Gen Z as well, and they definitely think different, have different needs and wants, and
yeah.
how do you get to them to communicate with the boomers and Gen X? It's really fascinating psychology-wise. Very cool. So the next one that we always do, I'm speaking of, you know, getting talent, is like, if you've got someone you're trying to lure here to town, or you're just going to show it off, like, you know, how do you, any day, any time of year, like, what does the perfect day look like that you're going to really showcase Bloomington Normal, besides going to Keg Grove and Hive 309?
right. So I think there's a lot of great places in the community. When I think about that recruitment element of how do we differentiate, how do we bring people in from mm-hmm. other areas, we don't have, you know, some of the things that the major metro areas have. We don't have some of the landscape that you might find in even Southern Illinois, Colorado, you know, places
yeah.
like that. But we do still have some unique things that are wonderful, right? And so I think about Uptown Normal, for example,
yeah.
which it's great in the summertime. It's great in the spring. It actually, we had, when I was at Burwood Group, our CEO came to town and saw the lighted trees
yeah.
in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And he decided, you know what, this is beautiful. We're gonna go ahead and do our next retreat, our next company retreat. We're bringing to Bloomington Normal, not Florida, not Mexico. We had done these tropical retreats.
Sure.
We're in January, we're bringing it to Bloomington Normal. Now, he didn't know that we would have -5 temperatures that year, which we did,
yeah.
but everybody absolutely loved it. It's just a nice cityscape for
yes.
that type of thing.
Yep. So it's another thing, though, is like while they're here, if there's like one thing you got to show them, it's like, all right, while you're in town, you have to eat this. Is there one food item or multiple food items? Like, what's your favorite?
I think you got it when it comes to food items, because I'm one that I love supporting as many different local businesses as I can.
Sure.
But there is always a favorite food item here or there. And so if I think entire Bloomington Normal area, I got to go with the Alla Baldini at Luca Grill.
Yep.
That's been just a family favorite for forever. And so that's going to be the go-to.
Yeah, it's funny how much Luca gets brought up here. And that was one of the first places I went after I got the job, just knowing how long that place has been around. And you can smell it. You can feel it. Like, it is like stepping back in time, and the food is phenomenal. So that's a really popular choice for people that's here. The next one on here that we always ask, especially with the entrepreneurship aspect of it, but why does economic development matter for a community?
So I thought about this one. I feel like my viewpoint on the world is pretty utilitarian.
Okay.
I talk in my coachings. I talk about my objectivity as a superpower because it enables me to focus on other people.
Sure.
And not get so myopic. That's how I see economic development.
Okay.
Is because even if I don't agree with this development piece, mm-hmm. or this company coming to town or this program, I know that the economic development supports the entire community.
Yeah.
It's good for all of us. Doesn't matter the program, doesn't matter what it is, it's good for all of us because there's always that butterfly effect.
Yes.
And the completely connected world that we live in. And so I love every bit of it. I love the work that you guys do. I love that even on a micro scale, when people do well in their own organizations, even if they're not focused on the broader economic development aspect, when they do good things, it makes us all better.
Yeah, it's hard to explain the multiplier effect, and we can do it mathematically for every single business from a car wash to a automotive manufacturer. Like, there is that ripple effect. Once you mentioned, and also we're happy that we get to work on all scales. So we'll have a prospect in that's $5 billion. It's going to be this massive, power user that's going to be on the side of town. But then the other ones, we're working on the little commercial lease grant for the Peppered Pig out in Colfax, to do this little coffee shop. So it's funny, like the appreciation that you see either way when that happens. And what I've noticed over my career, like we've done $250 million intermodal yards and, $400 million retrofits of manufacturing companies. And unless you work there, it's not really a big deal, but you bring in a Sonic, people go crazy.
Right, so right. Like, yeah, some things make a bigger splash.
They make a bigger splash. I think it depends on, how it impacts you personally. And so, like you said, I like that objectivity line because there are people that work at Rivian that used to work at Mitsubishi and are back in there and like, this is amazing to me. It's cool to see the Rivians driving around town, but if you don't work out there, you don't really know what it means. You might feel it now in home prices as the demand's gone up, or waiting in line to go to Ancho Agave or something because there's more people in town. But yeah, unless you actually experience that, maybe Ferrero is not a big of a deal to you as it is to somebody who's working at Ferrero now. So it's all levels. There is a ripple effect from every single one of them, and it's really hard to quantify, or maybe it's not. I think it's easier to quantify, but we're not doing a good job of telling that story. So if we can, I'm even considering this year doing economic impact studies on every single project we touch, so we can say, here's what it means to the hotels or the auto dealers or the construction industry, because for every dollar that puts into a certain industry, there is a ripple from that dollar, and it all varies by industry.
Yeah.
And what's cool about what you're doing is there's a whole bunch of industries that we don't even know exist yet. And so those could be upcoming, right here, homegrown. And ideally, we've created a place that's quality of life-wise, quality place that equals quality of life, that those businesses want to stay here. Because the fear in the fear in entrepreneurship is the market's not here. And so once you get your product to a certain level, you've got to go East Coast, West Coast, or Chicago. That's why I think it's a unique blend with what you're doing. The online side is, it's really shrank the world. So there's no reason, cost of business-wise, this is not the best place to set up shop for some new company.
Right. No, I agree. And so when you talk about that and kind of the next steps of, what people do on the entrepreneur kind of pathway, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons why the work that I'm doing in Hive 309 is so important. And so we talked about the workforce development piece and the student retention piece and everything. So I've been talking with Illinois Wesleyan, Illinois State, Heartland Community College about what do the students need?
Right.
Because I think along with the internship program, any connection to the community that we can provide increases their chances of staying in town.
Yes.
Because it feels like the normal script is you come down from, let's say, Chicago, you do your 4 years or five if you're taking a victory lap, and then you go back home or you start looking for jobs in your dream locations.
Right.
But if there are business connections being made, you've started developing a business here, you're meeting people, you're meeting spouses, that's a popular one, right?
Yes.
To bring people to certain spaces. That's important for us. And so I think that's one reason why Wayfinder and why Hive has been so successful so far is because it's it's certainly not completely altruistic, right? I make money.
Sure.
But it's all driven based on how can we promote the community and how we can grow and all develop as a whole. And so that's what I'm excited about, is because the projects are community-based. And so we're pre-selling memberships for Hive 309. We've already got, I think we're at a dozen members, and we haven't even opened yet.
Okay.
And so I think we'll be open by the end of the month. As I mentioned, we are hosting through the Chamber the Business After Hours on March 13th.
Perfect.
And so we're looking forward to a packed house to kind of, that'll be the showcase coming out it. Party, the grand opening for Hive 309.
And if people want to find out more information, we'll put this in the show notes, but what's the best website address?
So hive309.com.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, I think unless there's anything else you wanted to cover, we're good?
I think we're good. I it was a great conversation.
Awesome. Yeah. So we'll have everybody go check out hive309.com and then stay tuned for that Chamber event to go see what it is and grab a beer across the street. Plenty over there. Actually, not the street, the parking lot.
Absolutely. Just mosey across the trail. Just watch out for crossing bikes.
Yeah. Watch out for the bikes. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Tune in next week as we continue to take an inside look at Bloomington Normal's economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners, and learn more about our BN Advantage.